What a great day the Lord's made, and what a privilege it is to be here in His presence and to open the Word of God. Let's stand as we turn to the book of Luke, chapter 1. The book of Luke, chapter 1, and verse 26. The title of the message today is Joy to the World. Verse 26 says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great. And he will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end.' Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible.' Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Father, we thank you for your word, for this passage that reveals to us the birth, the announcement of the coming Messiah. Lord, we thank you for this season in which we celebrate the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. Keep us mindful that that's what Christmas is about. Father, I pray for us today that you would open our eyes and our hearts and our ears to your word. Speak to us, Lord, for your servants are listening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Don't you just love Christmas? I'm serious, you know. I'm not being sarcastic. Christmas is a wonderful time. Now, there's a lot of junk that goes with Christmas that sometimes gets overwhelming. But the Christmas story, the Messiah, the birth of the Messiah for the salvation of mankind, there's not a sweeter story told in the world today. But through the process of time, I fear that we've lost a little bit. And I think the reason perhaps that we've lost a little bit is we've given the story of the birth of Jesus this little bit of a soap opera slant. And by that I'm talking about we focused upon the drama that could be around the story. For example, how many times have you heard how hard it must have been for poor Mary, as she was a young lady expecting a child outside of marriage? I've even talked about that before in messages. How often have you heard what a terrible or what a great sacrifice this man named Joseph was making to marry his betrothed Mary, who was without child or with child, and that wasn't his child? We kind of give it that soap opera slant. And I think it's because we seem to feed on drama. as a culture. I don't know if it's my age or where I am in life. I don't like drama. You know? I like the good news. I want the good news. I want to hear about the birth of a Messiah, the coming King. I want to hear about a Savior that can deliver the world. And you see, that's what this story is about. It's not so much about Mary and Joseph. It's about the birth of a Savior that for 4,000 years up to this point, people have been waiting for this blessed event. I think of the joy of Simeon who was waiting and for the birth of the Messiah. And God had told him, you'll not see death until you see with your own eyes the Messiah. I think of the joy that must have entered his soul as he saw the baby Jesus for the first time. As they entered the temple on the eighth day. I think of the prophetess Anna, who was waiting for the Messiah. And when she saw the baby, she made widely known the news, the Messiah is here. There's not drama in that. There's the declaration of salvation for all who will come to Jesus Christ. I look back and I think of the wise men who came, traveled from afar to see this baby Jesus. And you know, when they arrived, they didn't say, oh, poor Mary. They bowed to present their offerings and their gifts to this Messiah, child, king. I think of the shepherds who, when they heard the news and come to see this, the birthplace of Jesus, They didn't get there and say, boy, that poor Joseph, if I was him, I'd never done all this. They rejoiced at the sight of the Messiah. And they declared it wherever they went afterwards. So today I want to challenge you. Rejoice. That's the point of what the angel said here to Mary. His opening words were rejoice. And that was the angelic regards, if you will. The greeting. As he made this announcement. The word rejoice, it's a greeting. It's like we say, hi. Except it wasn't a hi. It was a, oh, be happy. This is a really good thing. Perhaps it was somewhere in the neighborhood. Have you ever met someone and said, good morning? That's kind of in that category, except on a higher level. As the angel says, rejoice. Be happy. I've got good news. This is a great day. And you have so much to literally rejoice about. What was it? Well, let's look at what the angel revealed. The angel's revelation there. What did she have to rejoice about? Well, there were some things that she needed to know before we could go any farther. Or she could go any farther. First of all, it said, rejoice. Highly favored one. First thing, Mary, you need to know is that God really does love you. You know, isn't that just an awesome message? In a world that says you're not good enough. In a world that says you're not the right color, you're not the right culture, you're not the right political party. Don't people just need to hear, hey, God really does love you. That was the opening statement with Mary. God really does care for you. Not only are you highly favored, the Lord is with you. You're not alone. As I look out here, I wonder, have you ever felt alone? How many times have you felt like it's just me? Well, I remind you, you're not alone. Neither was Mary. She really needed to know that she wasn't alone because, you know, as I said before, the next few months are going to be difficult for her. Not only all that, but you're blessed, Mary. You're blessed above women. Not because of who you are or what you have, but because of what God is going to do through you. Now, I want you to think today. Let's just stop and let's put aside everything. The drama of life. Okay? Let's lay it all aside. Forget who you haven't gotten their Christmas present yet. Forget how many meals you're going to have to fix during the Christmas holidays. And let's just think, do you realize that God really does care about you? I mean, when you think that the Creator, the God of this universe who hung the sun, moon, and the stars, actually cares for you, that should at least make you smile. Do you realize that that same God is always with you? Probably right now we're in a period that people feel more alone than ever before. Many people are barricaded up in their homes, and my heart goes out to them. But I want to remind you, if you're watching on the internet, you're not alone. God is with you. And I want to remind everybody how blessed we are. And I'm not talking about because we have money, because our bills are paid, or because of the house that we live in, or the cars that we drive. All those are material blessings. We are blessed because we're children of the living God. That's something to rejoice about. Something that should just make us back up and say, yes, I am truly blessed. And it doesn't matter what's going on this Christmas season and how many COVID cases there are. And all that doesn't matter. What matters is I rejoice to know that I'm a child of the King. Second thing to aid in your rejoicing. You got to learn how to fight the fear. How many of you have ever been afraid? How many of you have ever been afraid that God was going to call you to do something you didn't want to do? Raise your hand. Oh, yeah. Yeah, all of us have been there. See, Mary, as the angel said, rejoice, you're blessed. And he follows up, and by the way, don't be afraid. And the reason that he tells her that is because it says in verse 29, when she saw him, she was troubled. The word troubled, it means to be in great confusion and to be greatly disturbed. The idea is, whoa, she's not troubled because she's afraid God's going to do something. She's troubled because she's never been here before. Just think about it. If an angel were to appear to you and say, rejoice, highly favored one, what would you be? Oh, my goodness. God's about to strike me dead, right? But he calms the fear and the confusion. Because he did not come because God wanted to mess up her life. He came because God wanted to use her to bless mankind for generations to come. Now I'm reminded, you know, fear is part of that drama I'm talking about. Don't let fear control you just because you've never been where you are right now. Don't let fear decide what you're going to do in life or what you're not going to do. I love the assurance that she was given. The angel, you know, if you're afraid and I say, don't be afraid, and I leave it there, what are you going to say? You're no help. Look what the angel says. Do not be afraid. You will conceive a son. You will call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be the Son of the Highest. God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign forever. These are all good things. Amen. These are all wonderful things that God is going to do in the life of Mary. And she needs to know God's not there to mess up her life. Where along the way did we get this common fear that we have that God wants to mess our life up? Where did that come from? You know, I don't know how many people, and even myself, when I was dealing with surrendering to preach, you know, I said, oh, I don't want to do that. I've known people who were afraid God was going to call them to preach. But as I read this, I'm reminded, you know, whatever God calls you to do, whatever God leads you to be, it is not messing up your life. It is a tremendous blessing to be used by the Creator of this universe. Who are you that God would use you in His great kingdom? Who am I that God would call me to preach the gospel? I can answer that. I'm nobody. You are nobody. But glory to God, He uses the nobodies of this world. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to give in to that fear. God doesn't want to mess up my life. God wants to give me a life that will not only be a great life while I'm here, but a life that will follow me through eternity to come. But I've got to get over the fear. How many times have we said, I need to do this, but I'm afraid. I'd like to try to teach, but I'm afraid. I'd like to come to the altar and bow down, but I'm afraid. I'd like to sing, but I'm afraid. Where does that fear come from? It obviously doesn't come from God. Right? If He's calling you to something, He's not saying, listen, I'm calling you, but it's okay for you to be too afraid to do it. No. If you'll stop and you'll think, there are assurances that God has given you that you're not going through this thing alone. You don't have to be afraid of God. If God would give Jesus, His only begotten Son, to die for you upon the cross of Calvary so that you could have eternal life, do you really think you have to be afraid of this God? That this God's going to mess up your life? And I'm not talking about a respect, you know. There is a respectful fear that is appropriate for the child of God. But I'm talking about that debilitating fear that says I'll never do anything because I'm just too afraid. You got to fight that fear. That fear's not from God. God doesn't want to mess up your life. He wants to give you a life. Then finally, you've got to dismiss the doubt. If you're going to have joy this Christmas season, you're going to have to dismiss the doubt. I love Mary's response as he said, as the angel told her, you're going to have a child. He's going to be great. It's kind of like we talk about our grandkids, right? We all know they're great. But this child was going to be greater. This child was going to be special. But there was a problem. The problem was that Mary had never had sexual relations with a man. And so she asked the question, how is this possible? So she's not being disrespectful. She's not being unbelieving. She's just thinking, like any of us would think, this is just more than I know of that's possible. And so... And how often do we say God is still on His throne? But yet we worry about how God's going to work everything out. Have you ever been there? Oh, we brag. God's still God. But we're still afraid. And because of that doubt of just knowing that God's got all things under His control and knowing that God can do anything, we have very low expectations in this life of a God that can do anything. Look, consider the wills of the text that we read. As God gave this to Mary, and the angel makes this announcement, He didn't say, I'm going to do my best. Did He? God never does His best to try to accomplish something. God does it. Look here, verse 31. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. There's no question. You shall call His name Jesus. And He will be great. There's no question. There's no doubt. And He will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. You know, the more I read that, the more excited I become. God is never a maybe God. He's a will God. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the God that we serve. And I look here and he's bringing Mary to that point of, look, Mary, this is not a problem for me. As a matter of fact, after he gives her the wills, he says, listen, what you need to understand is nothing will be impossible for me. Nothing. With God, all things are possible, or nothing will be impossible. And he gave her even evidence of that. He said, look, I'll show you something. You have a relative. Her name's Elizabeth. Now, Elizabeth, you know she's an old woman, right? You know she was barren her whole life. She could never have children her whole life. Well, Elizabeth is having a child. She's 6 months along. Now, if God can do that, don't you think He can handle doing this in you, Mary? Don't ever forget, Mary, I'm God. You know, that's a very simple reminder that we need to take to heart today. Don't forget that God is God. That means there's nothing that our God cannot do. And we realize that by looking around at the evidence. God can still deliver people. He can still heal people. I've been asked, Brother Doug, is our nation too far gone? Only if God is not God anymore. He can still bring revival to this nation. I look at the worries of the pandemic that's going on. I don't know how tomorrow's going to turn out, but I do know this. God is still God. This is not an out-of-control pandemic for God. He's God. I look at the government. Like, dislike, agree with, otherwise, you know, whatever. All that doesn't matter. Because God is still God. And things are not out of control. Things are going according to God's plan. You know? As I look at it, I thought about this. With nothing, with God, nothing is impossible. I was just reminded, hey, why do we go around moping all the time? Thinking that we're losing this battle. We're not losing the battle. I look at attendance and can I be honest with you? Can I give you a preacher confession? You know, I look at attendance and I appreciate every one of you for being here and your faithfulness. It is an encouragement to this pastor. Thank you so much. Okay? And also look at those watching from home, and I want to tell you, I love you. I check every week to see who watches at home, and I appreciate you watching so very much. But sometimes I look out, and I kind of drop my head, get a little discouraged, and I think, boy, we're not where we were a year ago. And I don't see the fact that God's doing things now that He didn't do a year ago. I have no doubt that, as a rule, on any given Sunday, more people are receiving the gospel that is put out by Victory Missionary Baptist Church. More people are seeing the worship service, more people are seeing the preaching than ever before. You know? I have no doubt that lives are being changed through the ministries of this church. But you know, there's something about looking into the eyes of people and kind of making preachers say, well, oh man. As I was preparing this, and even this morning, and the attendance is pretty good this morning, and I don't know how many is watching online, but I appreciate you who are watching online. I'm just reminded, God's still God. We're not losing the battle. Right? We're not. So what is the point to this entire thing? Well, the point is this. God's God. There is a gospel that was given thousands of years ago. Today, and Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, was born as the Messiah and Savior of this world. And today, as we look at everything that's wrong in this world, I want to challenge you. Let's look at what's right. Okay? What's right is Jesus has said, I will come again. Okay? Jesus is coming. It's going to be okay. Republicans, Democrats, don't matter. Jesus is coming. The Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Jesus is going to set up His rule upon this earth. And we're going to see the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. That day is on its way. And there's nothing even Satan himself can do to stop it. God's still God. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us eternal in the heavens. And He has said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Can you imagine that one of these days, maybe tomorrow, it may be 20 years, I do not know. It's all according to God's calendar. But one of these days, we're going to live in the presence of Almighty God. It's good news. If you're a child of God. Today, I just think we should be joyful. Not for what's going on around us, but for what's going on in us. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know how this is going to turn out. Right? You know where you're going. It's going to be okay. No, it's going to be better than okay. It's going to be very, very good. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me tell you this. Jesus Christ came to this earth so that you could have eternal life. He came here. He was crucified. He took the punishment for your sin because you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. Everybody in here has sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to pay for your sin. That's what Calvary is all about. But you see, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, right now your sin is between you and God. What I mean is, it's blocking a relationship with God. You say, Brother Doug, I'm not that bad. I didn't say you were that bad. I said you were a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all in the same boat. We all need a Savior. My challenge to you this morning is, are you saved? Have you committed your life to Jesus Christ? Because I promise you upon the authority of the Word of God that heaven is real. And I go back to the I wills. Jesus said, I will come so that where I am there you may be also. He's prepared that place for us. Who place their faith and their trust in Him. But I'll tell you also upon the authority of God's Word, hell is real. And you cannot blame your eternity where you spend eternity on anybody else but the choice that you make. Either to receive Jesus or to reject Him. You see, I've heard people so often say, well, those churches, that's just full of hypocrites. Quit trying to blame your spiritual rebellion on other people. It's not between other people and you and God. It's between you and God. Okay? Listen. I want you to know the joy of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So today, if you're not saved, I want to challenge you. come. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we believe in our heart, confess with our mouth, we'll be saved. Bottom line is this. It's your choice. And today you're faced with that choice. Will you choose Jesus? This invitation's for you. Maybe you're here today and you've let the cares of this world overwhelm you. It's going to be all right. God's still God. Jesus is still the Messiah. And He's still coming. Look at the joy. Don't look at the doubts and the fears. Our Father in heaven, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the reminder today that we have so much to be thankful for. We have so much to rejoice about. And today we rejoice in the birth of our Messiah, Jesus Christ, the one and the only Son of God, who came to this earth to pay our sin debt. And because of His life and His substitutionary death upon the cross of Calvary, Lord, we can have forgiveness. And because He rose from the grave, all those who place their faith and their trust in You will rise too. Thank You. Today we rejoice in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank You, Heavenly Father, for loving us so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.